The band name is Soggy Pibbles.
Name's Jimmy Pibbles.
Supernova nuts.
Jeez.
Fucking sex dragon.
The weather may win this game. Mother Nature.
Bitch.
All right. Hello, BOTA sports fans. My name is Broccoli Rob, and I wanted to thank you for joining me today as we do a special episode. It's going to be run by me personally. I wanted to take the time, you know, outside of the influence of the other guys, to really talk to you about a lot of cool sports stuff that have been on my mind lately, as well as I'm sure a lot of you have heard, that potential Tom Brady retirement. So I'm just going to dive right into this. I wanted to be here for this Tom Brady conversation, right? And this whole video could end up being really irrelevant, right? He could come back next season, but I'm going to operate today as if he is retiring, as if that news that's come out today is actually true. And Tom Brady's camp has confirmed that Tom Brady's retired. So for me personally, and I'm sure that, you know, the same can be said for a lot of New England fans and probably a lot of Tampa Bay fans, that Tom Brady is the most heroic athlete that I can remember as far as, and when I say heroic, I mean like hero status. As far as I can remember, like growing up as a Boston sports fan. You could say, you know, you can include like the Larry Birds in the mix, but, you know, basketball for me doesn't really kind of kick in until Paul Pierce is there. But so Tom Brady, right, he would have taken over in the year 2000. He got drafted. So I was about 8, I think, when Tom got drafted. And I remember that first season of football, I was watching Drew Bledsoe's quarterbacking. I remember when Drew got hit by Mo Lewis, right? We all remember that. You know, or at least if you were there for that game, you'll always have that moment in your head. And that's when Tom Brady comes on and, you know, it's classic. Who is this kid? You know, we're in a lot of expectations from the Patriots anyways. It's a lot different now, you know, when that number one draft quarterback comes in, starts taking over that franchise. And you have all these questions about, you know, what are they going to do? What can they bring to the team? Where are we at? So Tom Brady's kind of like just this random dude drafted, what, round 6, pick 199. I'm sure not a lot of New England fans even really knew that he, you know, where he stood on the roster. The rest is history, right? Tom Brady takes over. He wins a Super Bowl and he starts just an unprecedented dynasty in sports. And for me growing up, Tom Brady was kind of like everything that you wanted to be or aspired to be in life, right? If you were a big sports fan, you know, Tom Brady was the ultimate rags to riches story. Drafted in the 6th round, total nobody, absolute zero to hero, Hercules level moment here. Shout out to that Hercules Disney movie. Absolutely phenomenal film. But I remember very specifically my thoughts on Tom Brady, you know, early on into that career. And it was something that you could say back then that has held up his entire career, which you can't say a lot, which you can't say happens to a lot of athletes. But the rule of thumb in football, right, was any given Sunday. But more specifically for Tom Brady, it was just anytime Tom has the ball, we have a chance of winning the game, right? So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what that means as far as like athletic prowess, right? Because a lot of people, you know, outside of New England have claimed Tom's skills have been supplemented in other ways, i.e., well, he's only won because he had an elite dynasty defense. Okay, I guess that's a fair take. The Patriots have been predominantly a heavy defensively run team, right? That Super Bowl against the Rams, 100%. I'd say a little less so when it came to that Eagles-Panthers Super Bowl, right, where I'm pretty sure he's winning those like 32-29, I think in both cases, right? That's obviously Tom Brady winning on the offense. You know, Deion Branch and, you know, the MVPs and all that stuff. And then both times in the Giants Super Bowls, defense showed up, but unfortunately the offense couldn't get it done. And a lot of people who will claim, you know, that Tom Brady's skills come elsewhere, you know, they can take that as their big moment and be like, see, we told you, man, like Tom Brady can't do it all. All right, we'll stop. Let's calm down. And then you get the Seahawks Super Bowl, which I think is a nice little combo of both. Really good defense. Obviously, that like historic Malcolm Butler interception kind of overshadows a lot of what that game was, right? The touchdown to Julian Edelman, the touchdown to Rob Gronkowski against the Legion of Boom defense, right? You're putting 24 points, I think, against that elite defense, right? I feel like that doesn't get talked about a lot. And then you get to that Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. Obviously, incredible job by the defense in that fourth quarter hold, right? And then for Tom to, you know, orchestrate that win, and obviously like the Julian Edelman kind of showtime catch where you're not really sure where the ball is at. There's a lot of bobbling. It gets a lot of, there's a lot of confusion. And then you go to that Eagles Super Bowl, which is just like an absolute shootout offensively. You know, unfortunately, the Patriots don't come out on top there. But credit to Nick Foles for being just an absolutely elite postseason quarterback. It's still something that I haven't really processed. And then you get to the Rams Super Bowl, which definitely wasn't the greatest offensive showing, but defense really held the line. Fast forward, now Tom Brady's on the Buccaneers, and they play the Chiefs. And yes, that defense was stifling, but Tom Brady still put up a lot of points. We weren't really crediting the Chiefs here. But the point with a lot of these stories is that no matter what the conversation was, it got broken down into, was it an excuse to try to overshadow Tom Brady's skills, or was it just a recognition of how great Tom Brady was? The point was, the conversations usually ended with, yeah, but the Super Bowl was won anyways. And this, I think, lends credence to that. Well, in the Falcons Super Bowl, right? Hope immediately restored. Tom has the ball. There was never this conversation where, crap, we got the ball back. Can Tom do it? We had that conversation a lot about maybe some of like the personnel that were around him at the time, but I think we can all agree Tom Brady was one of those transcending talent quarterbacks who could take an average player and really help them reach that like real potential that I'm sure, you know, they believed they had in themselves and coaches had when they drafted them. And this like hero persona that he creates in the world of sports, where it goes a little bit beyond like, oh dude, like we got this, like we got the ball, we got time to score. It's like, no, Tom has the ball. Like things most likely are going to go well. And that's kind of something that is really fascinating as a sports fan to talk about, because that isn't something a lot of sports fans have in their dynasties. At least that like 20-year run where you can rely on that athlete to be as utterly and truly dominant for that, you know, for like that period of time. I'll bring in that Michael Jordan when he's on the Wizards era, right? You know, I can't speak to what that was like, but on face value, I have to assume he wasn't walking onto the court with the Wizards and people were like, over. Jordan's got the ball. GG. It just wasn't the case. You can kind of say that a little bit about LeBron. I think definitely more so in the latter half of his career than that first half. Obviously, him going to Miami starts that like you bring over that, wow, he's just an absolute freak athlete, true monster, to, okay, well, yeah, but now like there's a championship on the line and I think LeBron can do it. I think Kobe had a little bit of that too. But you know, the Lakers weren't that great, you know, in that like final stretch of his career. Tom Brady though, every year you just kind of assumed playoffs were in play. You know what I mean? Like there was never that season where you went, oh crap, this is going to be a rebuild season for us. You know, we had Tom Brady. No, it was always, no, let's see what kind of fun plays they orchestrate around Tom. How does he elevate that game? So even though Tom has since left New England and, you know, obviously the Patriots are in this new era now with Mac Jones, which is tons of fun. I think Mac Jones is an absolutely phenomenal quarterback. I think he's a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see where the Patriots go in the future. But the point being here, like he goes right down to the Buccaneers. And he wins a championship. And like, that's the crazy thing. He goes right to the Buccaneers. And the questions were not, oh my God, like, are the Buccaneers now, like, are they a contender? Are they not? Like, what's it going to be? No, the question was, can he win the Super Bowl without Bill Belichick? You just assumed he's getting to the Super Bowl. The question was, can he do it without Bill Belichick? Like, wrap your head around that thought. It's not, he's going somewhere new. i.e. this Matt Stafford at the beginning of the year, there were a lot of questions about what can Matt Stafford bring to this team, but the questions were a little bit more condensed to week, not, oh my God, what's he going to be like in the postseason? Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, and the questions not only assume postseason play, it is, if you know, can he win the Super Bowl, right? You're not thinking, man, can Tom Brady win a regular season without Bill Belichick? Like, think about that, everyone. Think about that concept for a second, where you're so freakishly amazing at what you do that people aren't even questioning the personnel around you. I mean, yes, was that like Buccaneers team really poised for a deep run? Only thing they were missing was a quarterback. Yes. And I know that the conflict or the blowback to this conversation is, well, yeah, but he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, right? And he brought Rob Gronkowski, and you know, they really like built that team around him, and wowie wow. Okay, sure. But you never questioned, was he going to mesh with these people? And why? Because Tom Brady proved to you that even with non-elite talent, while still having like, you know, fun players, but like, yes, Julian Edelman, yes, Rob Gronkowski, absolutely phenomenal players. I understand that there's like, as a conversation to be had here, but he wasn't surrounded by elite talent always. And at the same time, right? More often than not, if Edelman was on the board, Gronk might have been injured. Hell, Danny Amendola, not an elite level talent, still a, you know, a wonderful receiver, right? But Tom showed you that 9 times out of 10, he didn't need that all-star. We're not talking baseball here. He didn't need that Pro Bowl caliber player necessarily to get the job done. You just knew as soon as he got to the Buccaneers, yeah, they're probably going to mesh. Him and Mike Evans are probably going to go off. Him and Chris Godwin, probably going to be great. And that is so crazy. Like, that's crazy. Because a lot of times the conversations about can athletes do this elsewhere, right? It's never so set in stone that championships are going to be in the conversation. It has happened. LeBron James goes back to Cleveland, right? In the very, you know, very opposite of the decision, right? He comes back with the return. He won a championship there. That was great. I don't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember the conversation with LeBron going back to Cleveland necessarily being like, here comes the ring, right? Actually, in fact, I think a lot of people were like, cool, he's got the rings. Now he's going back to Cleveland just to kind of rebuild that legacy, you know, what he tarnished when he went down to Miami, you know, built the big three. You know, I'm trying to think of like other athletes where they were very good, but their trade didn't necessarily begin the conversation of we're talking championships. We're talking rings on rings on rings. And I can't think of a lot of athletes who did that. I mean, yes, Kevin Durant is an athlete where you could say, yeah, wherever he was going, automatic contender. Absolutely. I'll give you Kevin Durant. Tom Brady's got more though, right? Tom Brady's done it more, right? This is not to take away from Kevin Durant. I think he's absolutely an elite number, like top five talent for sure. But guys, there's been like a lot of decades in sports and a lot of great athletes who have come and gone. Tom Brady's done it for 20 years. 20 years. Hell, you could even make, you know, you could even say in that too, like starting from 2007 onward, Tom Brady going somewhere could start the conversation of, all right, like, can he go win that Super Bowl now this year without his head coach? Right? We're talking like you immediately think championships. And growing up in New England, we 100% have grown accustomed to that, that level of dominance, right? Where our excitement for players getting added was not like, holy crap, we just got this guy. It was, how do they compliment Tom? And this, again, I'm not sure I'm doing a good enough job explaining it, but the point I'm making here is that Tom Brady is so utterly dominant, so freakishly amazing at not just playing the game, but understanding the game on such a fundamental level where he can take that like, mid-tier talent and win a ring. Right? Like win a ring with players like Danny Amendola. I'm trying to think here. Oh my God. What was his name? David Patton, right? Another really like, you know, kind of average receiver. That was tons of fun. You had Antoine Smith. That was really like, that was a cool time. But again, we're like, you know, Troy Brown, like the ultimate Patriot, right? But Troy Brown wasn't getting Pro Bowl like nods every like year. Deion Sanders, who I think had, not Deion Sanders. Oh my God, Deion Branch. And I might've said Deion Sanders earlier. I still meant Deion Branch. That was a fun receiver. But then you remember like Dante Stallworth, I just got distracted for a quick second. The point being here, those players were really good. Tom made them great. And as we now potentially reach that end of an era, you know, the question becomes, are we going to see this kind of player again? You always lean towards no, right? Because if you assume the miracle every year, like, come on, it does kind of take some of the fun away, right? The fun of it is going, no, we're never going to see a player like this. Then watching a player like this, you know what I mean? Like, that's the fun of it. So by default, I think as sports fans, you got to go, no, we're never going to see a player as good as Tom Brady, who importantly, not only does it as well as he does, they got to do it as long, you know? An athlete has to be both dominant and longevity has to be a part of this conversation. No matter what the sport is, in order to be considered GOAT status, GOAT tier. you know, keeping it locked in football. Yes, Patrick Mahomes, just an outrageously freakish talent. Lamar Jackson, another freakish talent. Those are the quarterbacks that you can look at this right now. I mean, yes, Aaron Rodgers, but I think Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to say tarnish the legacy. That loss to San Francisco was really, really bad. I think in the grand scheme of the conversation of, is Aaron Rodgers up for GOAT status, right? He's got one Super Bowl. I mean, yeah, like technically speaking, he is like an amazing talent. And I'm going to segue a little bit. You know what? I'm not going to segue. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, or at least my thoughts on that. In a minute, but I just want to finish with this, like the Tom Brady thought. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are absolutely incredible quarterbacks. Not denying this in the slightest. The longevity now is what's missing from the resume of, are we going to see this player again? And that's crazy, right? Like, I keep saying that, but like, you have to understand 20 years essentially with someone performing at such a high level where you figure the shelf life for an NFL player and, you know, quarterbacks will say early to mid 30s is usually when you saw a lot of quarterbacks either in the backup role or if they were still starting in a rebuild. Yes, the science for how an athlete can maintain their skill has progressed immensely. I mean, you could go back even as far as like the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, where you could probably make the argument a quarterback in their early to mid 30s was probably nearing the end of their career. Hell, I don't think anyone would have disagreed with you, you know, barring separate injuries, right? Like barring like the Andrew Luck situation where absolutely dominant player, never got an O-line to protect him. And that poor dude just got absolutely crushed day in and day out. I mean, injuries on injuries on injuries. And obviously that kind of forced his hand in retiring. But Tom Brady's 44. He's a 44-year-old man. And I think he finished this season with the most thrown yards in his career, right? Obviously per season, right? So, you know, checking these stats really quickly. So forgive me if I get something wrong here. But okay. So Tom Brady finishes 2011. He throws for 5,235 yards. Okay, so 2011 was like a crazy year, right? He throws a 99-yard touchdown pass. He's got Randy Moss. It's an absolute banger of a year to be a Patriots fan. Does not end the way we want. You know, a lot of us have like come to terms with that. But okay, so 5,235 yards in the year 2011. That's crazy. So at this point, he's already been in the league 11 years and he puts up monstrous numbers. Okay. 10 years later, at 44 years old, he's going to throw 5,316 yards. Right? Granted, yeah, that's what, like 80 yards more? He's 44. When was the last time a quarterback that late into their career not only topped their season best in yardage, but did it after like 20 years of being in the league? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, as I'm looking at these stats a little bit more, right? Yeah, you can see why, right? There was more expected of him. The Buccaneers became predominantly a throwing offense, right? At 719 attempts, which is the most he had ever done. Actually, his whole career, he doesn't even come close to 700. Yeah, I mean, the closest he comes to 700 is that 2012 year, and he completes most of his passes this year as well. 485 completions. Okay. Yes. Who is he throwing the ball to? Godwin's, Evans, Gronk, probably Fournette and Giovanni out the back. He had elite level talent. That definitely supplements it. That doesn't make or break it, right? I mean, you got to be a good quarterback to do that crap. Look at, you know, Jameis Winston had a lot of that. Nah, I couldn't walk onto that, you know, field and do probably even over, like, I probably couldn't even throw over 100 yards. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and obviously I'm not a football quarterback, but the point being, you got to be kind of good to do that. You got to be really good to do it at 44. You got to be amazing to do it while a lot younger athletes are barreling towards you. And I don't want to hear any of that. Oh, man, Tom gets all the calls. Stop. Stop. Okay? Just, you got to give it a rest. I understand you're looking for a reason. I mean, it's not fair. Tom Brady doesn't get hit or he gets the flag thrown a lot. Well, also, I mean, watch the way he's getting hit, all right? Like, you're protecting your quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, it happens the same thing to him. It happens to almost every quarterback. I know that there have been times where quarterbacks have maybe gotten the short end of the stick. But all those times you hear, oh, man, he pays the refs, so the refs are on his take. Like, do you really believe that? You genuinely, I would love to hear your thoughts on how that meeting goes before the game. Get out of here. So I want to close my Tom Brady thoughts with a reflection that, Tom Brady's kind of always been someone I've idolized, you know, on and off the court. I mean, on and off the field, you know, he's always been that, you know, motivator. And it's been really cool. And being able to brag about, you know, growing up in New England and that being my quarterback, and then like knowing, you know, knowing that like he wasn't just all about the clout. It was like, you genuinely feel that he believed day in and day out about how he worked out and about health and about family. And that was really cool. That was really cool to grow up with. In an era where, you know, honestly, Tom Brady could have been an absolute jerk and he still would have been loved. You know what I mean? But like knowing those other things was really, really cool. I really want to dip quickly into the Aaron Rodgers and, you know, how his legacy went. And, you know, obviously if this has been talked about before on this like channel, I haven't talked about it. And my thoughts are the only ones that matter. That's not true, guys. I love you. I just keep thinking of that kickoff conversation I have where kickoffs aren't fun. Like, I still haven't really accepted that. Kickoffs are wildly fun. Not the point. So Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lose Lambeau to the 49ers. Give a little credit to that whole when a team gets hot at the right time, they can really, like, hit their stride. Philadelphia Eagles during the Super Bowl. The Red Sox in that 2013 era, which was obviously, like, first of all, it was a crazy, crazy postseason for the Red Sox when you think about their players, but not the point. So yes, the 49ers got hot at the right time. They got so hot that they walk into Lambeau in the snow and they stuffed Aaron Rodgers. They held the Green Bay offense to 10 points. 10 points. 10. Like, against a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who was absolutely a top three talent. Hell, I'd put him in the second or third, right? Depending on where you go in that, like Mahomes conversation. He's got Davante Adams, who's having an absolute monster of a year. AJ Dillon's a phenomenal running back. You're playing in the snow. And I'm sorry, like, it's not like Aaron Rodgers brought this team that, you know, we're all rookies and unaccustomed to playing in the snow. You know, I mean, hell, AJ Dillon went to Boston College. I mean, it snows in Boston, you know, like, so this wasn't anything new. And yes, you can, you know, Kyle Shanahan has had, you know, the 49ers, I'm sorry, the Packers numbers for a while. So that game's a giant L for the Packers. Drew, I'm sorry to say it, like an embarrassingly bad L. Like, Yikes. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers' legacy? I can't speak to that. You know, obviously I'm not, you know, a professional journalist or I'm not even like an amateur journalist. But the point being here, it's like, I'm obviously not in those like meetings where you talk about what it means and how you look at that going forward. From just this like random fan's perspective, that's bad. That's bad with a lot of the headlines that were, you know, led into the season about how does Aaron feel about playing here? And obviously the on and the off the field storylines that followed the Packers throughout the season. So let's say you operate with the concept that, listen, a lot of those headlines this season where, man, Aaron Rodgers is done after this year. He doesn't want to be here. Okay. Let's just say for posterity's sake, and I'm hoping I'm using that word right, that is the case. That's how you go out? You go out 10 points against the 49ers. Who, I mean, granted, that's a vaunted defense. It's real good. Real good. But, I mean, you like the stars aligned for you to have an absolute monster game, guys. And, you know, I'm not going to put this all on Aaron. Like, you had the bye. You had the home field advantage. You had the snow. And you had a team from California. I mean, do you need anything else? So that game ends, and there's all these questions now about, was Aaron's heart really ever in it? Did he really give it his all? I bet you if Tom Brady loses a game 10, you know, putting up 10 points, those conversations are not, Tom Brady give it his all? Is Tom Brady in it? No. You start going and asking questions about, what did Tom Brady have to work with? Man, do you see how he had to like do this and do that and do this? Or that other team did like really, really well. The point is, whatever conversation you have about that L, I've never heard enough, at least I've never heard it in enough ways, or that be at least like, okay, I've never heard the conversation be, did Tom Brady really give it his all? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that's been thought about, but it's never take one or take two. It's usually often like, crap, we've run out of questions to ask why we took that L. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, that was an early question. It was asked a lot. It was asked a lot in post-game interviews, you know, and not just of him. It was asked a lot of his coaches. And I'm not going to put this all on Aaron Rodgers. Like, I have no idea what it's like to be an athlete in today's world or, you know, a professional in that way. Who knows? Strictly speaking, though, from that legacy standpoint, not great. Not a good look. Not a good look. So who knows? You know, and also this like creates like a really fun, a really interesting postseason. Like anyone else rooting for the Bengals right now? You know, I think it's kind of cool, but I'm not here to talk about Joe Burrow or the Bengals or, you know, if, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's not it. It was mostly to talk about like the comparisons and legacies. And you know what? This actually raises a really good point. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and we were talking about what we like to call the Hall of Fame or the NFL gatekeeper, right? Like what player is the absolute bare minimum that could be allowed in Canton that would get that title gatekeeper? Like, oh, you got to be just as good as this person. We had a long conversation about this. He's from New York. He's a big Buffalo fan. He said Eli Manning, New York Giants. Kind of had to agree with him on that one. Eli Manning is a serviceable quarterback, 2 Super Bowls, I think 5 or 6 Pro Bowl nods. I think that is like the gatekeeper quarterback. I mean, obviously, you know, and so compared to those two, really doesn't matter what Aaron Rodgers' legacy is. In that last game, Aaron Rodgers would go in. Tom Brady, I mean, is there even going to be a vote for that? I feel like it's just like, hey, bro, you're in. Like, come on. It's the same thing about like how I thought about like David Ortiz. Like, say what you will about like the DH role in the Hall of Fame. I think David Ortiz was one of those players that the conversation was, yeah, like as soon as you go on the ballot, no problem. But so, yeah, so Eli Manning is the gatekeeper. I thought was a really cool take. So those are my football takes, guys. I apologize if it seems a little disjointed. This is my first time going on here by myself. So this is kind of cool. Feels like I'm like not really spieling as much as I like to think that I'm like engaging and like just kind of giving you guys the thoughts as they come to me. So I really quickly want to talk about basketball. So the Celtics have been having a really average season, definitely below average by anybody's standards. My thoughts on that come at a not too much of a shock, you know, obviously with the coaching change, that you know, creates complications about going forward. But that team is in a real weird way, real odd way. I think like the Al, you know, bringing back Al Horford was really interesting. I like Dennis Schroeder. I think he's a trade piece. It's kind of how I felt about him going into the season. I love Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think they're great, great talent players. So no, I don't know what, you know, has caused this season to be as average as it was for them. I think they're both scoring really high, you know, but Marcus Smart does like a lot on the defense, and there's a lot of questions about, should he be a trade piece? Should he not? I personally think that you should package Schroeder and Marcus Smart and try to get an elite defensive talent if you have any hope of kind of making a run. Because, I mean, let's be honest here. We are trying to play for that cup. We're trying to play for the ship, you know? And you don't really want to finish this year as a wash, right? It's not a good look, especially when you're trying to inspire confidence in those players. And it's almost big contract time, you know, for a couple of those guys. And the East isn't like crazy. You know, the East has always kind of been like a little predictable. You know what I mean? Like, you got Brooklyn and you got Miami and Giannis and Milwaukee, and that's all like crazy. But known entities. That's like the crazy thing too, right? It's like you know what you're facing. One of this is how teams felt when they had to play Tom Brady for 20 years. Like, we know what Tom Brady's going to do. That's a crazy thought. That just kind of popped into my head. Either or. So with like the Celtics, right, you kind of know what the East looks like. Some teams that you didn't expect to got really good, but for the most part, a lot of those teams kind of stayed the same. In fact, some of the fun headlines now are like the ones out of Brooklyn, right, where like there's this whole complication between James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and more importantly, is James Harden having fun in the city? I heard that was kind of part of a line. I don't really know like how that factors into it as far as like, you know, who said what. But that's kind of a cool headline. No, I take that back. Cool is not the right word. That's kind of an interesting headline. Obviously, you know, you want players to be happy no matter where they're playing. You don't ever want a player to be unhappy. That's just absolutely mean. But we got a rivalry with Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So, like, it'd be like if there was, like, you know, whenever the Yankees kind of, like, enter a skid in their season, right, where like they lose a couple of games. I mean, come on, you're a Red Sox fan. You have to look at that with the fun of a sports fan being like, my rival, he's struggling a little bit. So you kind of look at that like Brooklyn Nets, and you pay just a little bit more attention than if you were, let's say, throw a random franchise out there, like a Kings fan. You know what I mean? Like, that's a cool headline, but I mean, are the Brooklyn Nets really like something the Kings are going to be like super focused on? So. Those are my thoughts, guys. Super quick, super sweet. Just a thank you to Tom Brady for being an absolute monster of an athlete, a great person, and my hero. You know, someone who I was inspired by and always wished that I could have, or at least tried my best to present those characteristics, you know, working hard, being a team player, staying focused. Those are all like really, you know, great character traits. And I thought Tom exemplified all of them. So, all right, Boda Sports fans, thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit. I wish you all a great rest of your evening, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. This is Broccoli Rob signing off.